Hello and welcome to Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown bringing you episode number 2. Again, I find myself alone, but with good reason. Last night, Scott Nielsen and I, he is a local Zion's Finest member, recorded an amazing podcast episode. However, due to my incompetence and a few problems with the sound, the audio was largely unusable, unfortunately. It was completely my fault, and it's a bummer because the podcast episode was amazing. But I am here to bring a short report based on our Denver regional that we went to over the weekend, we being five of us from the Zion's Finest group. Those were myself, Stephen Butler, Matthew Richards, Jerem Moore, and Aaron Ross, a bunch of awesome local guys, flew over to Denver on insanely cheap airplane tickets to play in the Denver regionals that was last week. Today is December 5th. So that would have been on, what would that be, December 3rd? It was a ton of fun. There was 15 people present, I believe. Between 15 to 16, I think, was what it ultimately shook out to be. It was an awesome tournament, lots of great competition, and the meta was extremely diverse. The tournament was ultimately won by John Grasser. He was running a Vader, Palp, 2E Jets, and 2 Officers list, with Zillow, obviously, a very good list, and he did awesome in Swiss and clinched it in the final over a fellow Zion's Finest member, Matthew Richards. I'm just going to give a quick report on my rundown on regionals. What we're going to do is in the future, we're going to have the other four members of Zion's Finest on to talk about their matches. We want to keep it short, give you details in terms of letting you know how the games went, what our matchups were, what the meta was like, not bogging you down in too much round by round details, but just general thoughts in terms of how lists matched up. So my list was my Ahsoka MHD smuggler box, which is Ahsoka, Lando, MHD, Jin, Hera, Gideon, R2-D2, C-3PO, and Mac. And then Balance of the Force to round out to 40 points. I've got a lot of defensive cards in there. On the Lamb, Miracle Worker, Cheat to Win for Lando. Great cards. Armed Escort, which pairs really well with Jin. My first match was actually against Jerem Moore, who is one of the Zion's Finest members. He was running double Elite Sentry Droids, Elite Claudite, Rebel Care Package with Hera brought in through Temporary Alliance, an Elite Jawa. I believe that was it, actually. And Jerem's list is amazing. He's been working on it for, I'd say, probably about a month, and he has put a lot of effort into it, pretty much built it from the ground up. And the list has got amazing range. Elite Sentry Droids with their charge shot with Hera have got almost unparalleled accuracy in terms of their ability to hit far across the map. He was my first opponent, and we were playing on Jabba's Palace. I believe it was the new ownership. I'm not totally positive on that, but I think that was the case. And our match was close, but the dice pulled my way big time when we were exchanging long-range fire across the throne room, you know, the big open area. And now I said that Jerem's list is incredible at long range, and normally it is, but I was able to snipe off his Elite Sentry Droids before they were able to get too much return fire. He failed to make range a few times, which the mathematical chances of it were very unlikely, but it happened. I had all the right cards I needed in terms of On the Lamb, Cheat to Win. And Jerem's list is actually, it's awesome, it's consistent, but because it doesn't have the Hunter cards like Heightened Reflexes, and, well, I guess pretty much that's it. You know, Elite Weak Ways, things like that that can mitigate dodges. When I'm rolling dodges, or if I have Cheat to Win with Lando, he has no way to really mitigate for that. And it just happened a few times, and so I was able to pull ahead and win. My second game was against Martin. Martin is a local from Denver. He actually won the Denver Regional, I think it was 2 years ago, he told me. Don't know if I'm remembering that exactly right, but he was an awesome guy. Had a lot of cool swag and was a really good opponent. He was running Vader, Palp, 2 officers, Elite Stormtroopers, and regular Stormtroopers. I think that was it. He might have had a little bit more. I assume he had Zillow in there, but I would have to think about the math of that. He was a really cool guy. We were playing on Anchorhead, which is my worst map against Vader because Anchorhead is just a great map for Vader in terms of being able to close and just do lots of damage. Those doors, there's so little space between them that if he can open one and then open the next, he's immediately in your grill. But what I do when I'm against Vader on Anchorhead is if I am on the south side, the bottom side, which is the side that's not outside, I don't go up to the door. I just stay back, let Ahsoka go out and remove figures and wait for them to come to me. There's no reason for me to go because this was in the line of fire map. And so there's no reason for me to go out unless he's going for boxes. And so as he was sending Vader in, he actually wrapped him around. I was able to stun him with Jyn and Lando and just keep him locked down so I could get him removed. But he was a very good opponent. He showed me the power of Palpatine and Vader, which we'll talk about later. And it was a very good list, very close game, great opponent, really cool guy. My third game was against Matt, who is, as I said, a local. He is running a Drakata Ahsoka Rangers list with your standard mix of Rebel support. And we were playing on Nal Hutta. Now, my list is extremely good at mid-range combat because I can get out good, consistent damage with stuns, and I don't have to worry about too much in return because of all my defensive cards. However, my list really struggles against long-range units like Rangers. Also, my list really struggles with objective control because I have to keep most people in the box, or once I start spreading them out, which I can spread Mac out, it's just easy to pick my guys off. They're not very defensible, which is fine. And ultimately, you have to do that. And that's how this game went. Matt made a mistake early on. He sent Drakata out, was a little too aggressive. And so what Ahsoka does whenever someone gets a little too aggressive is goes out and kills them. So I bombed in with Ahsoka when he had put Drakata out at the end of round one. Got an attack on him, very powerful attack. Started the next round, I managed to kill him. So, and then Ahsoka pulled back. Then Matt did exactly what he needed to do in that situation. He formed his own box with the Rangers. So I was on the north side of Nal Hutta, which is the side with the deployment zone that starts in the pond. He was on the other side, the better side, because he's got the easy block off with the terminal control. So he formed a box down there near his terminal. And it was really difficult for me to approach, obviously, because he's got Rangers who can put off really good shots. Now, he was only able to kill R2-D2 and Lando. Those are the only two units he was able to kill, but this was on raining freight. He was able to get, so that's 9 points. He was able to get 32 points worth of crates because my list, one is I've got the cliff there, and it's really tough, obviously, for me to go around and get around that when I've got Rangers gunning you down. But the other thing was that I was just unable to approach without Ahsoka, without breaking up the box, which ultimately I had to do. And our game was extremely close. I think my final score was 37 points. And what happened was I sent Jyn in, because I had on the lamb, and to perform some aggressive attacks against his Ahsoka and start doing some cleanup so I could get take control and just pick up a few crates and win. But Jyn's attacks against Ahsoka, so I have a combo where I will send Jyn in to perform an attack. And when I do, she's got her 1 in a million card, which when they activate, she can declare an attack. And if she declares an attack and it's not her activation, she can remove all of the enemy figure's defensive die. And then I put that with wild attack. So I will wild attack to add a red and a white die, and then 1 in a million in order to get rid of all defensive die. And Jyn was focused, so I've got red, green, green, green. I'm expecting to do some amazing damage against a zero defense die figure. And I think I did like 5 damage or something. It was pitiful, very bad. And Jyn, she just let me down a few times in that final close. I just wasn't able to get the figures off the board fast enough. And Matt had just been very patiently getting crates and just trying to hold off as long as he could. And he was able to do it. So then what happened was it's the start of the next round. He is at 37 points and he has got C-3PO ready to activate. I send Jyn in order, she's focused again at this time, in order to perform an attack on C-3PO when he activates, and he rolls a dodge, and that was it. It was a great game, very close. Matt's an awesome opponent. His list is really good, and it was a great learning experience in terms of seeing how I've got to work with the box in order to make it better at getting objectives. My fourth opponent was another Zion's Finest member. I played 3 of us, and this was Aaron Ross. Aaron is running a similar list to Matt's. It's a Drakata, not Ahsoka, but Rangers, Kotoon list. Very good list. We were playing on Jabba's Palace. Now, Jabba's Palace is in the current rotation, easily my best map, because Ahsoka's got a lot of places she can hide before she bombs in. And I can also trade pretty well against over the throne room, just because I've got just the right amount of range in order to get that. So what happened was, in our game, I sent Ahsoka in the end of round one in order to just do massive damage to, I think I actually just killed a Ranger was what I went for. removed the Ranger, but he had called the Vanguard and take initiative. And so he sent, but how I positioned myself, he could only actually get an attack with one Ranger if he was going to do it. So instead what he did was he sent in Kotoon with the call the Vanguard shot and did some damage to Ahsoka. Then he took initiative and did another attack with Kotoon. He didn't do quite enough damage. I mean, he did probably 8 damage to Ahsoka, which is obviously a lot, maybe even more. Actually, he did do more now that I think about it. So what I did was I just got off another attack. I think it was on Drakata and then just bombed out of there. Well, then what Aaron did was committed Drakata in order to remove Ahsoka, which I'm fine with most of the time. I've removed a Ranger. I've done some damage to Drakata. I'm okay if I lose Ahsoka at this point. If as long as I can keep the box, you know, the box is going to be able to finish things off. So he committed Drakata to finish off Ahsoka, which he did. And then I was able to kill Drakata, remove his Rangers, and just work him down with the box. Again, I had all the cards I needed in order to survive his attacks, and I'm just picking off figures as I was approaching, actually, bringing the box up. Great game. Aaron is awesome. He is a great player, and it was a really, really fun, very close game. So I made the top 8, got some sparkly dice, which was awesome. And then my first round 1, so I guess in the top 8, my first opponent was Daniel. He's also a local from Denver. He was running a list similar to mine, actually, a Rebel box, except he did not have Ahsoka. He had Obi-Wan and Han Solo. He did not have Mac. I'm trying to think of who else he did not have in his list. And we had an amazingly close game. It was on Anchorhead, which again is like that's my worst map. But it's also not an amazing map for him. It's not so bad because Han is just the best figure in the game right now. And Han was able to get off some really good shots. But what had happened was I had picked off Obi-Wan the very beginning of the game. Again, he underestimated the ability of Ahsoka to deep strike. So I killed Obi-Wan, I probably 8 damage round 1. Or something crazy, and then the next round I removed him. And then what happened was I lost, let's see, what did I lose? I lost R2-D2, I lost Jyn, and I had removed a lot of his figures. I think he was left with maybe 2 health on Hera, almost full health Han Solo, and I don't know what else. Maybe C-3PO. We'll say C-3PO. I had removed pretty much all the rest of his figures, and I had only lost those 2. So then I sent Ahsoka in order to remove his Hera, because then what I was going to do is that would put me over the kill threshold so that I could... There was something else. He must have had somebody else. But I needed to kill Hera so I could get the rest of my... I could get the patrons. That was what we were on with Anchorhead and win the game. So he has killed... What? What did I say? He has killed 8 points worth of figures in Jyn and in R2-D2. I commit Ahsoka in order to kill him because he's going to be at 16 points at that point. In addition, he had gotten all the patrons. So he's at 30. That would put him at 36 points. Now, the thing is, though, is I had On the Lamb, Miracle Worker, Cheat to Win, everything I needed with Lando in order to finish off the game. I was going to be able to do it that round, actually. But what happened was when he killed Ahsoka is he played Celebration, which is a card I have never seen played in any skirmish game, competitive or otherwise. It was awesome, because what that card does is when you defeat a unique figure, you gain 4 victory points, and that's it. So he played that and won the game. It was so awesome. And it's awesome because Daniel is he was a really cool guy. We had a really good chat. We were just having fun. We'd won our dice, and we were just enjoying playing the game. And also, we were running similar lists, and I think we were the only people running... We weren't the only rebels, but we were definitely the only people running Lando and Jyn, for sure. And so we just had a lot of fun playing the game, and it was really cool to lose in that way. I've never lost before. So that was it, and then I was out. Daniel went on. His next match was against John Grasser, who ultimately won, so obviously he lost. And then the final was played between John Grasser and Matthew Richards, who I've mentioned before. Now, they were playing on Jabba's Palace, and... I have played the Smuggler's Box against Vader, I would say probably 6 or 7 times. I've played it enough, and I've never worried about Vader, because I've got stuns, and I've got Ahsoka, and the ability to remove the Palpatine if Palpatine gets close. or just pick off figures as they approach. And if Vader gets done, that is pretty much the ball game. So what my strategy has always been when fighting Vader is stun Vader. And if Palpatine is in the game, kill Palpatine, because Palpatine just adds so much value to the opposing team in terms of giving them free attacks. So that's my strategy. Now, Matt was in a different and more difficult position because what his list had no stuns. It was Dracotta, Rangers, Ahsoka, Hera, Gideon, C-3PO, and Alliance Smuggler. So the Alliance Smuggler does have a stun, but you know, he's never going to stun Vader. And they were playing on Jabba's Palace, and I don't know if Matt has actually played very much against Vader. And because of that, I don't think Matt had played against Vader and Palp. And Grasser was a very good player. I should emphasize, both Grasser and Matt are extremely good players. They know what they're doing. They're very, very good at knowing just fundamentals of Imperial Assault. But I don't think Matt was prepared for what Vader, Palp, and two sets of elite jet troopers were going to bring to the table. Because what happened was, Matt opened the door to the main throne room, the big room, so that he could gun Vader down as he was approaching. But just because of how things worked out, Vader was able to kill his Alliance Smuggler who was out there. He was able to get damage on on Dracotta, and he got in with Vader. He got into Dracotta's grill really quickly and just did massive damage, as Vader's going to do. He loves seeing a black die, and Dracotta's extra block is worthless against Vader. So because of that, he was able to get an early lead in terms of damage. And also, Grasser was also very smart because he was using the officers not to push Vader up, which is what I noticed most people do, but he was using them to push Palp up. And that was so smart because what Palp does is, as Palp is close to other figures, including the elite jets and Vader, the ability to flexibly give an extra attack is so good. And his Force Lightning ability is amazing. So he was using the officers to push Palpatine up. So by the time the melee is really going on in that main room, Palp is there, Vader is there, at least one set of elite jets is there. And Matt was just unable to recover from the incredible damage spike that Grasser dealt. Obviously, Grasser has practiced a lot with his list, and he has practiced against lists like Matt's in terms of Alliance Rangers, high spike damage, hunter cards, etc., etc. And it was an awesome match to watch. It was close, actually. Matt did a really good job of bringing it he brought himself back into the running, even though it seemed like he was just going to get blown out of the water initially, just because Vader just has so much front end damage. But it was a good match. But ultimately, Grasser won. He did really well. He's a really good opponent, very competitive. He's also really good at X-Wing, and you might have heard of him. He plays in the X-Wing scene, makes the World's Cut all the time. Very cool guy. He drove up from Albuquerque, and it was just a lot of fun. So, a few takeaways from regionals. One is the meta was unbelievably diverse. The top eight was comprised of, I think, three or four rebel lists, three scum lists, and one imperial list, I think is how it was. And the imperial list was Grasser's. And it was a very diverse meta. I don't think there was a single set of elite weakways, with the exception of one of our locals, Stephen Butler, was running them. There was another guy named John Conley who was running a hunter set of some kind, but I don't think he had elite weakways. I think he actually had HKs, now that I'm thinking about it. We'll get other people who actually played him to talk about it. Matt played John Conley in the top eight, I believe. Yeah, it was the top eight. And that game was incredibly close. Conley's a very, very good player. And he sent IG, was running a scum hunter list. He sent IG up to finish off Ahsoka. I don't know how much health Ahsoka had at this time, but IG comes up rolling red, red, green, green, and rolls massive attacks, two in a row, both of which Matt dodged. Then Conley sends IG-88 back in order to keep him alive. I can't remember exactly what it was. And Matt sent Ahsoka in after him again to finish him off, start getting damage on IG. Conley rolls another amazing attack, which Matt dodged again, three dodges in a row. It was crazy. I mean, Matt's a very good player, but that was one of those things where John, you could just tell, he was like, well, there's nothing I can do against that, which is right. I've talked before about how one dodge, like, we attribute a lot of significance to the fact that someone rolled a dodge, and we think, oh man, you know, you would have won if not for that dodge, which rarely is the case. However, three dodges in a row, three dodged IG-88 massive attacks. Each of those attacks was easily doing 7-8 damage. That he dodged three of those in a row. Oh man, there's no way John's coming back from that. So the meta was diverse. There was no Ugnaught Swarm, which was good because they would have been absolutely massacred by if they would have run into Grasser's List or Martin's. Vader will just eat those Ugnaughts alive. And I'm actually really happy about that. I'm glad because I think what's going to happen with the meta is that because Vader is going to be very good, this Grasser List that I've talked about, Vader, Palp, two sets of E-Jets, and two officers with Zilla, it's a very good list. It's very solid. It's good at handling lots of things. Because that is going to push Ugnaughts out, I think if an Ugnaught runs into it, it's an auto lose almost because the Jug Droid will never do damage to Vader. And once Vader gets into the fray, he's going to be removing two Ugnaughts a turn. And they're just going to be trying to run away from him, which will in turn kill the efficiency of the Jug Droid. So I think it's going to push the Ugnaughts out, which will be good. It'll be really interesting to see where the rest of the meta goes. Han, I think, is the best figure in the game right now in terms of his ability to get off three attacks. He's got access to On the Lam. But I don't totally know exactly what the top lists are going to be. It's going to be really fun to see how the meta shakes out over the next few months. I had a lot of fun, though, and as I've been thinking about the power of the box, because again, the entire tournament, so I played five games. In the entire tournament, I believe I lost, I want to say six figures, I think. There were a few where I didn't lose any, and it was really interesting to just see the power of the box. I lost the games I did lose. I lost because of objectives, which is obviously completely fine and how Imperial Assault is meant to be played in a sense of objectives are important. But it convinced me that the box is amazing at doing damage and staying alive, not spike damage like Hunters, but just staying alive. But I had to think about how am I going to compete against long range? Because again, I was just demonstrated again the power of Alliance Rangers against and Elite Sentries against the box. And I also had to think, like, what am I going to do about objectives? So I think the objectives is more going to be a gameplay style change. I'm going to be a little bit more willing to break up the box, not break up the box in terms of whoever it is that's being anchored on the defensive line, but send out flankers, not Ahsoka, but something else in order to make sure I've got a good handle on objective control or just be more aware of objectives. But I also want to try tossing Han in and bringing Lando and Mac out. The reason I've had Mac is because Strategic Shift is the best card in the game against Elite Weakways, against Hunters, really, with Jabba, because they've got access to amazing card draw, and with Strategic Shift, you can just burn that all away. But I don't know if there was probably two, three Jabbas in the entire tournament out of 15 people. There just weren't very many, and I don't know if that's because they were afraid of the Ugnaughts or what it was exactly that pushed them away, but I don't think I use Strategic Shift because I never had a time where I was like, okay, they've got, you know, more than if someone's got five cards in their hand, I'll Strategic Shift. But if they've only got three cards in their hand, I actually don't want a Strategic Shift because what if they don't have Assassinate in their hand and I'm actually going to end up giving it to them? That doesn't do you any favors. So I've thought about dropping Mac. I'll still keep Intelligence Leak, but putting in Han because, again, Han's the best figure in the game right now. And I think he will give me the range that I need and the ability to just pump out high-value, strong attacks. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to give it a little bit of a test. We've got the Utah Regional coming up January 20th, and I'm going to be doing some preparation for that in terms of I'll probably be running something like the box. But just because I think right now I love what it does. I love how Ahsoka fits into it in terms of punishing people who get out of position and just its ability to weather those strong alphas from Hunters, and with Vader, I've got an access to an amazing stun with Jyn. If I don't sub Lando out, I've got two stuns, right, in case one of their attack flubs. But we'll see how it goes. There's going to be a lot of experimenting. Well, that's my report from the Denver Regional. Again, this is Kenny Brown signing off, hoping you all have a wonderful night. Thank you for listening.